Well, I'm going to continue, and I think this is such a an important topic or important subject. Of course, there's some other things I have in my heart I want to share. I'm going to start something talking about in Nanuet. I'm going to be sharing. It's been in my heart for a little bit on the covenant and the blood of Jesus. So I'm going to be sharing a little bit about that. I think we need to focus on that. But I want to just finish up sharing about profession, words. And to kind of start this off, this message today is going to be called Voice Activated. And it got me thinking about this, and I've taught this a few times, but I want to share it again, all in the theme of affirmation, speaking. But it gets me to thinking, pretty much everything we do today is voice activated. I mean, it is. The convenience is there. It's just sitting there waiting for your command. It'll just sit there and do nothing. I mean, I've got a phone here. I can say, Siri, and my phone will go, what do you want? See, like right now, it's saying, what do you want? My phone will talk to me, right? And it'll give me information. All the power of that is available. I mean, we've got TVs that we talk to. We can go in and, whatever. All the conveniences, right? But they need to be voice activated. So the features there, all of that, all of these things, all these conveniences are available to us, but you've got to do something. And so it just gets me to thinking, well, isn't that's the principles that are in the Word of God. That you have the power of God is present to heal, but something must activate that. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. The presence of God in Christ was what? He anointed him to do what? Go about and heal. Healing was there, but something, the power of God was there. In Luke, it says the power of God was present to heal. But the man they let down through the roof did what? It activated the power of God. The woman with the issue of blood. The power of God was there, but she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And the power of God was activated by what? Her words, her faith. So power, even in the natural, you've got lights here. The power is here. It's the power is available. But in order to benefit from something, I've got to do what? Flip the switch. I've got to hit that switch, and then I benefit. So the power of God is present everywhere. Sometimes we keep to remember that. The power of God is present everywhere. It says that we are not ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16. What does it say? Romans 1:16. We were talking about this. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. And the gospel, when it says the power of God, that word is dunamis. That means it's the miracle-working power of God. It is the power of God. What activates it? Your words. You've got to speak something in faith to activate the power of God that's present. And, so many people that have gone before us, I'm thinking there was a lady, this is back in the early 1900s, And she was a doctor, and she started taking narcotics because she was just working a lot of hours. She was a doctor in New York, it came out of Canada, and she caught hold of some of these principles speaking, and she had a healing center. And at that time, people were getting certain kinds of diseases at that point in time. And she would take in people, and they were, you know, these were people that were on death's door. And she'd just have them speak the word. And they said to her, "Yeah, but I don't understand this." She said, "Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. Keep speaking it." And if they were healed, they left and somebody came in. I'm thinking of not only that, but just more recent. Mrs. Hagen, you know, this was back around, I don't know, just a few years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago. She fell on her tailbone. You know, you call it your coccyx bone or whatever they call it. And she said, it was so painful. She said, "I've had children." She said, "It was worse than childbirth." I don't know. I've never had children, so I don't know. I'm not a woman. I'm a man. But her point was that she went to the doctor, and he said he gave her the strongest medication that she could take, and she said it did nothing. And he said, "Well, that's the best I can do. You just have to live with it." She went, "Uh-uh." And Pastor Hagen said to her, "Honey, just say this." He would say, "The healing power of God is at work in my body, effecting a healing and a cure in my body, and I'm healed." And she said, "If I said that 100 times a day, I said it 1,000 times a day. Constantly kept saying it. The healing power of God is at work in me, effecting a healing and a cure in my body." And she said, "I'd say it, and 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 say it all day long in pain." And she said, after 3 months, what did I just say? 3 months. After 3 months of saying it hundreds and hundreds of times a day, she said the pain began to subside. And she said in 6 months, there was nothing there. But she had to say it. 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 She had to say it, and kept saying it, and kept saying it, and kept saying it, and kept saying it, and it healed. And sometimes we give up too quick. We saying, it ain't working. The symptoms are still here. I don't know. I've been saying it a few times, and it ain't enough. You might have to say it hundreds of times a day, every 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 day, until you see the results. Because faith works, and faith-filled words activate the power of God. It activates it. You know, when we talk about things that get activated, something gets turned on. It's like water. You got a plant that's drooped, and you put a little water in it, a little bit, and you go, nothing changed. You ever see these little lily plants, whatever? Well, these aren't real, but you understand what I'm talking about. You got a little lily plant, they go, pfft. You put a little water in it, and you go, nothing happened. Come back tomorrow. Boop, it's up. Same thing. Faith-filled words change things. Faith-filled words activate the power of God. And don't give up. You're going, I've been saying this for a couple of months. You might have to. I'm not saying everybody does, but you may have to. But you say it until you get it. Possession follows confession. It follows it. You know, let me use this example. I'll jump over here, but this point of the power of God being activated by our believing and speaking, it's activated by faith-filled words. Here's a scripture, John 15, in verse 5, 6, and 7, or 5 and 6 and 7, King James. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words, that's rhema, that word, my rhema revealed words, abide in you, you shall ask. You know what that word ask means? You know, a lot of times we just say, well, I asked. In the Greek, that word means to demand, and it means to demand. We're not demanding of God. It actually means demand something due. Well, if you've got money or if you've got something that you own or it's due you, you can demand that. You're not demanding of God. He gave us something through his blood. So when we say we demand, we're asking, we're requiring of something that's due us. Salvation is due us. Healing and prosperity is due us. We can require that. How do you require that? You ask. That's what this means. You ask, said if his words, his revealed words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be what? Done unto you. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is what? Written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore we do what? Speak. Now, faith, and the more I teach on this subject, for the years I've been teaching on it, it becomes clearer and clearer to me, almost where you just see it, you know it. And Romans 10:17, let's all say that together. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. And that means hearing by the rhema word of God. We all, it's not the logos. You can be reading the word along and all of a sudden you see something. That's something what? Revealed to you. Well, then faith is there. Well, faith can be present just like the power is present to light these lights. So faith is present. Faith comes in your spirit. You see something, but then it needs to be what? Activated. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, but then it's present. Faith, what does it say? The power of God was present to do what? Heal. But it needed to be activated to benefit. So it's the same thing. Faith can be present with you because you heard something, you saw it, but then what activates it? My words. Faith-filled words activate it. You see something and then you go, it's all these stories come back to me. Brother Hagin, when he was alive on this earth, he was bedridden for almost 2 years. He laid in a bed, paralyzed from the neck down. He said he could scoot, he could take pages and scoot them over. Just, he said it would take him an hour to scoot a page over. or more. And he said he would go through and scoot pages over and read. And he said he was in Mark. And he said all these doctors, all these pastors would come to him and tell him, no hope. They'd tell him just, and he said in their professional voice, they would say to him, just hold on, my boy. It'll all be over soon. The pastors were telling him this. The doctors were telling him, no hope. But he got hope from the word. Light came. And he said, at one point, he said, if this word means what it says, I'm coming off this bed. Before, he did. And he said, I believe I'm healed. And he said the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, now you believe you're healed. Well, people should be up this time of day. Now, he's paralyzed from this down. He's got no feeling. And he said when he heard the Holy Spirit say that, see, faith was there. He said, I'm going to be healed. But what activated it? He said, I shall be healed. He saw something in the word. Faith was there. He said, I'm going to be healed. And the Holy Spirit said, now you believe you're healed. Healed people are up this time of day. Now, he could have said, now, I can't move. So you know what he did? He threw his legs out the bed, paralyzed. And he said he grabbed hold of the bedpost and slid down. And he said as he sliding, the power of God hit him from the top of the head. And he said it felt like honey. And he said his legs started to strengthen. And he said it felt like pins and needles and knives because he said his legs had been paralyzed. But what activated it? Faith was there to be healed. But it had to be activated. You know, I read this example. I thought it was so good about talking about something being activated. We have heating and cooling system in this room. It's engineered to produce heat or cold. But the unit does not decide whether it's heat or cold. It can't decide. What decides? What decides what it's going to produce? There you go, the thermostat. Your spirit, the ground, doesn't decide what kind of harvest it's going to produce. The seed does. So the ground is there. Your spirit is the soil. And the word of God is the seed that gets put into the soil, and the soil will then cause that seed to do what? Germinate and produce. The word of God is seed. So it's the same thing. That heating and cooling unit, you can go buy a thermostat and hook it up to nothing, and you'll be sitting there going, hey, man, I got me heat and cold. And you got nothing. So expectation, a thermostat is like your goal setter. The seed is your goal setter. The seed is what the harvest is that you're going to get. The seed that you buy is your goal setter. What's a farmer do? He plants something and says, I'm going to get that. It's the goal setter. The word of God is the goal setter. It's the expectation. So I can plant, I can go to the word of God, which is seed, that tells me healing is mine. But I've got to plant it in the soil of my spirit. And then how do I activate that? Faith comes by hearing, but then I've got to say, I am healed. I've got it. I'm healed. I'm prosperous. Now, you may not be in the natural, but what activates the power of God to begin working and taking from heaven's resources in that realm, the spiritual realm that we can't see, and bring it into this natural realm? It's faith-filled words activate something. It activates the power of God. And it begins to have God begin to work on my behalf. I can't bring in healing from heaven. I can't. But he can. He needs to be activated. And faith-filled words activate those things. Just like you have the electricity. It's tied to an air conditioning unit, heating unit. It's sitting there waiting to serve you. And you're sitting in here sweating going, man, I sure wish it was cool in here. And you complain about the symptoms. You complain about how hot it is or cold. And you're sitting in a room with the air conditioning or heating unit, and you never go over and set the thermostat. And all you do is talk about it. It's sure hot in here. Set the thermostat. Set your expectation, and that unit will work and work and work and work while you're sleeping, while you're awake, to produce what you put on that thermostat. Your spirit man will work and work and work because your spirit man is always awake. Your physical body goes to sleep, but your spirit man is always active. And it's working, 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 working to bring to pass the seed that you put in your spirit. And it'll work and work and work and work to produce what you expect. It'll produce it. So when we keep talking about the problem, your spirit man will work and work and work and work to produce that negative thing you're talking about. Because you spoke it. And it'll work and it'll work and it'll work and it'll work to produce the things that you say positive. You keep speaking the word of God, it will produce. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. It didn't just say, well, I say some negative things and I'm not going to get that. You will. And you will get those things that are filled with life because you're putting into your heart and your the soil in the ground. When a farmer puts seed, that soil works day and night, while that farmer's sleeping, until that seed comes up through the ground and produces what it's expected to produce. Same with your spirit. It'll keep producing, keep working to produce the seeds or the words that you put into your heart. So I hope that helps, because for me, those are the things that get us over in life. We're running this race in life called life. And the things that we speak, the things that we believe, those are the things that will either defeat us or put us over. Yeah, we're faced with circumstances in life, and we've all gone through things. We've all made mistakes. We've all said things. But as we learn, let's make the corrections. Let's get it corrected. People have done us wrong. People have done things to us. But that should not shape me, because I now know better. The devil is influencing people to do bad things to people. But that should not shape me or determine my outcome. My words will determine my outcome. So this area, your heart will produce what you put in it. Just like this heating and air conditioning, we're enjoying a little heat in here today. We could have come in and went, boy, it's sure cool in here. Man, I sure wish it was hot. And you'd sit here and here and shiver. Just like you could go through life and say, sure wish things would be better in my life. You can wish all you want. Ain't happening. Now that may seem kind of rough, but that's exactly what the word says. You can wish all you want, and it will never come to pass. What will come to pass is what you say. And you keep saying it, and 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 complaining, you will eventually have that. Your life will not go well. And so what we need to do is continue. When we're going through hard times, if you're a Christian, you're in covenant with God, and he is obligated to do what? To bless you. He's your covenant partner. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We have received redemption through his blood. I'm redeemed from what? The curse of the law. So I'm not subject to it. And because of his shed blood, he will honor his word if I speak it. And I got to keep speaking it. And I got to keep speaking it. And I'm going to tell you this, the minute you start speaking it, the devil will try to fight you and fight you because you've been talking negative. Now, all of a sudden, you want to start changing course. There's going to be some resistance. That's not the time to mute. That's the time to speak up and remind him, oh, no. You've had control of my life. I'm delivered from you. I'm delivered from the curse. Everything I set my hands to was blessed. The windows of heaven are open unto me. You know, down in Nanuet, there's a young man. He's been at the church for years. And he started a company just... started something, you know, he had a passion to do something, and he started a company, and then they ended up selling it, and so now he's partners with a bunch of businessmen. He's young, he's in his early 30s, and he's got an AI company, and I said to him one time, I said, hey, Moses, do you speak every day? He said, yep. He said, I got my confession. And he said, I confess I'm a billionaire. I said, good for you. Speak it. Now he's gone through, he's dealing with some people. I remember he said, you know, this company he started, he was working with programmers from India, and they did some coding, and they were siphoning off through crypto. They were siphoning off money, and they lost millions, not thousands, millions. And so, but that didn't stop them. So I'm just saying, you know, when you start making confessions, God is going to give you some wisdom. There may be some rough waters, but that's not the time to go quiet. That's the time to speak up. And again, what are we saying? The soil is there to produce. The soil does not decide what kind of a fruit it's going to produce. It doesn't decide. It's the seed that determines it. It's the seed that determines it. Just like that thermostat, it's what sets the goal. That unit was engineered to produce either or. And it'll work and produce what you tell it to. So the word spoken is the seed, and the harvest is in the seed. The harvest is in the seed. The potential is in the seed. The potential is in the Word of God, but it must be listened to. Faith comes, but then what is activating the power of God? What activates it is your words. You must speak what you believe. You know, we were talking about this a little bit Friday night. I said, what does the world do? They're taking the principles of the Word of God. They want you to keep hearing something, hearing something, hearing something, hearing something, hearing something. It's called marketing. And they keep bombarding you on your phones, your paper, whatever. They want you to see it and hear it, see it and hear it, see it and hear it, see it and hear it. Till you form an opinion, and when you form an opinion, then what do? You speak words. I mean, that's just what goes on, right? Whether it's something they want you to eat or drive or wear or whatever. And then you're convinced, I gotta eat that. I gotta go drive that. I gotta drive that. I gotta buy that. I gotta wear that. And you're now convinced, but how did they get there? You had to listen to it, see it, see it, see it, see it, look at it, listen to it. That's the Word of God. And it's the same thing. The harvest is in the Word of God. The harvest is in the seed. It's the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. This is something a writer wrote. His name was F.F. Bosworth. He was back in the early 1900s, late 1800s. He said, a spiritual law that few recognize is that our confession rules us. Your words will rule you. The more you speak something, you know, just let's digress. How many have heard that person spoke that lie long enough? Now they what? They believe it. They spoke an untruth long enough and they believe it. So your confessions will rule you, whether it's positive or negative. This isn't mind over matter. This is God's word. It's his principles. Seed, time, and harvest. So he said, it is what we confess with our lips. I'm continuing what F.F. Bosworth said. It is what we confess with our lips that really dominates our inner being. Nothing will establish you and build your faith as quickly as confession. The confession of your lips that has grown out of faith. See, faith is there, but then confession is the byproduct. It's what I now, I'm professing what I believe. The confession up your lips that has grown out of faith in your heart will absolutely defeat the adversary in every combat. God can be no bigger in you than you confess him to be. Say it again. God can be no bigger in you than you confess him to be. So the spirit of faith is unlimited. There's no limit to the spirit of faith. So our continual affirmation or confession has infinite value. You know, when Brother Hagin was alive, he said, if you don't like what you have in life, check what you're saying. If you don't like what you're living, if you don't like what's going on in your life, check out what you're saying. And if you need to make adjustments, make adjustments. I'm convinced of this, that your words influence your spirit, man. I've said that 2 or 3 weeks ago. Your words will influence your spirit. You know, the way we you know, the Spirit of God leads us. Said those that are the sons of God, Romans 8, it says, those that are the sons of God are what? Led by what? The Spirit of God. But your spirit man can lead you too. You realize that? Because the Spirit of God lives in us and he will nudge us and prompt us to do things. But if you say words long enough that are negative, your spirit man will influence you to make some bad decisions. And you'll say, well, how is that so? You know, you keep talking negative. And you'll get up and go, you know, I just think I need to do this. I'm going over here. And you always wonder why people are making choices that they are. Why they do that? And you look from the outside and go, that doesn't make any sense. Well, you have to go back and say, okay, what have they been saying? What have they been talking? Because your words will influence you. Thoughts will come. Based on the words, it's fruit. It's the harvest of what things are that you're saying. And so you'll get thoughts. I mean, I remember Charles Capps when he was alive. He would talk about these things. He got a hold of this area of speaking and confessing. And he'd talk about how, you know, he was out in the Midwest and he liked to hunt and fish. And he got a hold of these things and he'd say, you know, I like to hunt. I go in, I hunt, and he said, during hunting season, and I'd get poison ivy on my skin. And he'd say, I'd go to the, you know, to the pharmacy, and I'd get some calamine lotion. I'd put it on. He said, but all the time, I'm speaking, every tissue, every organ of my body functions normally. I said, this poison ivy does not affect me. And he'd confess the word of God. He'd speak the word of God. And he said it took about a year. And he said every time he'd go into the woods, he'd get that, he'd put some calamine lotion on it, but he'd say, he'd speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. He kept saying it. And he said after about a year or so, he said he could go into the woods, grab poison ivy on the vine, strip it down, wouldn't even affect him. What happened? The word started working in him. Life was repelling darkness. It was repelling. I mean, there's so many stories. He talked about how he liked to fish. And he said he'd be in a boat with a bunch of guys fishing. He's on one side, they're on the other. He's calling the fish to him. He said, I command the fish to come to me. And he's pulling them in, pulling them in, pulling them in, pulling them in. And the other guys were getting mad. They're getting jealous. Like, hey, that's not fair. Can we switch sides? All the fish are on your side. He said, sure. And then he called them to the other side of the boat. And he's pulling them in, pulling them in, pulling them in. It's words. It's words. If you're going through stuff in life, check up what you're saying. If you're saying everything right, then keep saying it, because faith-filled words will cause you to overcome. They will. Faith-filled words will cause the blessings of God to do what? Be activated in your life. Joshua 1:8, this is what this is. This book of the law shall not what? Depart out of thy mouth, But thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So it's our faith-filled words that are going to cause the success. Let me read this from Hebrews 11:1. Of course, I would just read it in the King James. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The Passion Translation, it says, "Now faith brings our hopes into reality." Our faith brings our hopes or our expectations into reality and becomes the foundation. What becomes the foundation? Our faith becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. This is God's Word translation. Faith assures us of things we expect. Faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Whew. Faith convinces us or assures us, I'm sorry, faith assures us of things we expect. This is God's Word translation. And convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. So faith will come, it's like I use those examples. When faith comes, you know you've got something. You can't see it, but you know you got it. So faith assures us of something we're expecting, and then it convinces us of the existence of something we can't see. So I can't see healing. I can't see the money that's coming, but I'm convinced I've got it. I'm convinced because what? The Word of God. That's the support. That's the ground. So I'm just using some things this morning. The more you meditate on these things, the more you think about it, the more you talk about it, the things will become real. Your victory will become real. It won't be something way off over here. I sure hope I get the victory for something. No, you will know you have it, and you're still walking through all this mess, but you know you've got it. How did that knowing come? That knowing came by faith. Faith comes and assurance comes. I've got this. But then how do you activate it? You have to say, I've got it. I've got it. I have this. And it's not just once or twice. It might be months. I'm telling you, I was going to read some today, prophecies that Brother Hagin gave back in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, some of the most amazing prophecies. And he said, sometimes people will see things over in the spirit realm, and they'll see things that are in the future, or they may see something that's way out. And he said they misinterpret. They think it's for now. He said it's not for now. But there are some things that are ours right now. Healing is mine right now. Prosperity is mine right now. Walking above the evil in this world is mine right now. I've been given the name of Jesus. I'm seated with Christ far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. I have that right now. And there's opposition that you don't walk in it. So it's just like police officers. Police officers have been given a duty to do what? Enforce the laws. You know, think about this. You know, our country has military, have men and women that are in the military. They're trained. They're ready to serve. But they don't do any good unless there's a command to activate them to do something. So you can have all that, say, boy, I sure hope we need help. Activate them. Tell them to get in. Send them out. But they're trained, they're ready to go, and you're doing nothing. And that's what we have. We have the Word of God. We have the power of God. It has caused faith to come. We see something. But then we're talking about the problem rather than what I see. And what ends up happening is because it's up in your face or you're feeling it or you're hurting or whatever, you're talking about that rather than what you know. Because Brother Hagin, when he was paralyzed, he could have said, I don't know, I'm still bedridden. I can't feel anything. This is not working for me. You know, just in my own life here, 2 years ago, it was around in December. We were working on the property, we're doing leaves, and I had this idea, let me get up and clean the gutters out in the garage. So I had the ladder up, and the ladder did one of these things, and I'm flying through the air. I did a face plant on the concrete at about 8 or 9 feet. I went just like this. And so, you know, I kind of went out. I came up. They bring me to the hospital. And, laying, they do all the stuff they're supposed to do, right? They put you through the tube. They want to look for broken bones, all this stuff. You hurting? Nope, I didn't hurt. I had no pain, nothing. But I sure didn't look good. And so, you know, they're going through all that stuff. And so they said, well, they kept coming in. You want anything? You hurt? You need any pain? Nope. I'm fine. And I heard down in here, I'm laying on this emergency room gurney, and I heard real softly, I heard the Holy Ghost say, no broken bones. Or he said, no permanent damage. And quick recovery. That's what I heard. So I'm talking that. Doctors would come in. How you doing? I said, I'm blessed. And I tell them. They said, how you doing? I said, I am providentially blessed. And they went, yeah, I never heard that before. And I said, well, I'm blessed of God. And I said, I'm healed. So I went through that, and they put you through the tube, and they said, well, because of what we see, we're going to have to send you to a trauma center. I said, okay. So they shipped me up to Allentown. I'm in there overnight. You know, they're doing what they do, right? How do you feel? I feel fine. You want this? Nope. I'm good. And I said, can I get up? You know, and this is even down here in the ER. I said, can I get up and use the restroom? They were like, "You." I said, oh, I'm getting up and moving. I'm moving. So I get out, I stay overnight, they're testing you, they want to make sure all the things, right, are working. So I get home, Pastor Greg came up, drove me home, and I get home, and the next week, I'm talking this, I'm living it. I said, no permanent damage and quick recovery. So I was out of the pulpit one Sunday. That was it, just one Sunday. And I come up and they said, okay, we want to see you need to see a plastic surgeon on the next Wednesday. So this was Thursday, Friday, the Wednesday. So that Friday, Pastor Greg had symptoms in his body. He's going into the ER. His wife was in the ER. I said, oh, I see what's going on here. I said, uh-huh, really? So he couldn't drive me up here in a snowstorm on that Wednesday. I said, no problem, I'll drive. So I drive up there. I see the plastic surgeon. He looked at me and he goes, if you were my kin, I'd say, you don't need any plastic surgery. Just let it heal. I said, okay, good. No permanent damage. So the next day I had to go to a oral surgeon because they said this was broken over here on the jaw. The eye socket was broken. Underneath here was broken, the chin. I said, okay, so we'll go. So I go in. This is a oral place. And he said, I want to do another scan of your head. I said, okay. So I stand up. They do this quick scan. And he didn't say anything. He looks at the scan. This is the first words. He didn't say, hello, how you doing? This is the first words out of his mouth. Wow, this looks nothing like the x-rays I saw last week. He said, nah, he said, you don't need any. Because they were thinking, oh, you're going to need surgery and all of this. He said, nah, go home. It'll heal up. I said, good. But words cause that. Not the problem, but cause the healing. Because I could have been talking negative, and I'd have had some other kind of stuff going on. I'm telling you. So you've got to speak what you believe, and you will have what you say. Your spirit man will produce, it'll work and work and work day and night while you're sleeping, while you're awake. Your spirit man will work and work to produce the harvest of the seeds of the words you're putting in it. And it may take years to produce, but if you keep saying stuff, you're going to look back. You know, how many, you know, there's the stories about Michael Jackson. And they finally interviewed Priscilla Presley, who was married to him for a short time. And they finally, it came out in the papers that he confessed for years that he wasn't going to live. I believe he said past, was it 50? He passed when he was 50. He said, and she said when she was interviewed, we would sit at the table, the breakfast table, and he'd say to her, I'm not going to live past this age. I'm like, why? And so his words kept working and working and working and working, and he made some bad choices. He took propofol, and it killed him. But he kept speaking words of death, and it kept working. It took years, but it worked. And that's the thing. We've got to watch the words that we speak and start putting in good words. If you want a good outcome in life, you're going to have to speak good words. Not words full of doubt and unbelief. And if we've done that, I mean, hey, I did for years. I spoke negative words. But if you want a different result, start changing the words. I mean, the Holy Ghost spoke to me, I'm telling you, years ago. I would come in, put my tithe into the offering. I felt good about it. Oh, yeah, yes, I'm putting it in. And then I'm wondering why I'm not seeing the harvest. I'm not seeing it. And it was bothering me. But yet, I was speaking words for years and still do. spoke words and speak words about my body. It's strong, it's healthy, every tissue functions normally. And I speak that, and I have it. But I wasn't seeing the results in my giving. And during a time, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. Oh boy, I remember it. He said to me, if you would work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. That's what he spoke to me. And I stopped and I went, I'm the problem, not God. God wants to get it to me, but I'm negating it with my words. And at that time, I wasn't saying anything. I'm bringing my tithe in, but I'm not saying I planted my seed. I'm expecting a harvest. What kind of dumb farmer would plant a seed and then not believe he's going to get a harvest? That's dumb. You plant tomato seeds or cucumbers in your yard or peppers and go, sure hope we get a harvest. What? No, you're expecting a harvest. So when I plant my seed into the kingdom of God, I'm expecting a return on that. Because the word of God promises that. He said, I will multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God said he will do that. But you've got to, how do you activate him to do that in your life? You've got to say, I'm sowing my seed, I've sown it, and I'm expecting an abundant return on it. You got to speak it. And keep speaking it, and keep speaking it, and keep speaking it, and keep speaking it. And it will work day and night, day and night, day and night. While you're sleeping, God's working on your behalf. So that's what we're talking about. Activating the word of God in us. Faith, how does faith activate the power of God? With words. With words. I hope this rings, because I'm telling you, this is victory or defeat right here. I've lived in both of them. I've lived defeated over here, and I've lived in victory, and I sure like victory, and I see what it is and what caused the defeat. It was words. My own words, either saying them or not saying them. Think about this. You know, you say, well, God's a good God. He saw me put my money in the offering. He said he would do that. Yeah. And 1 Timothy says, God desires all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. He's not going to do anything until you confess him as Lord. And he will stand by and watch you go to hell. And he will give you every opportunity to do what? Confess him with faith-filled words. And he loves you. How God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But you've got to believe him and confess him. So you can bring your money into this offering, put it in, and get mad at God because he should be doing something for me. No, you should be confessing what he said he would do. That's what we're talking about. God is a good God. But there are some things that he expects us to do, and he watches over his word to perform it. I think I'm done, because we could go on this for a bit. But take it, meditate on it, think about it, and those areas that you need to make adjustments. If you don't like some results in your life, it's the same thing. If you don't like the harvest, if you want a crop and you say, I want this kind of crop, you are the one that determines the crop that you have. not God. You decide. You determine the crop you want. That means you've got to sow the word of God in a particular thing that you're believing God for. Faith comes. Now you know you can see it. You're assured of that. And now what? You have confidence and you speak. Amen. Glory to God. Hope you got a little something. At least think about it. Because I'll tell you, this is victory right here. Victory is in your words and in your mouth. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is food for us. And we thank you, Father, that when we keep hearing your word, faith comes and we activate the power of God with our words. And we thank you for it. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for showing us how to make corrections. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing these truths to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Amen.